The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy.
Whoa.
I don't see any
Whoa.
Reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but, my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
That
psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, and welcome to episode 162 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaurentiis, and I'm joined by, like always, by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Didi Jonet.
Hey, friend.
What's going on, friend? How are you?
Child, I mean, I'm not feeling that great, but it's nothing bourbon can't fix.
Yes. Won't it do it?
Won't he will, yes.
Yes. And we're joined tonight by the reigning, defending, two-time El Dandy Award winner for Guest of the Year, none other than Quanta Central R. What's going on, Quanta Central R?
What's going on, y'all? I'm joining Didi in her drinks of bourbon, so, you know, I'm not as sick, but we're going to work it out.
Cheers. As everybody knows, this is a CSPN production. We are brought to you by the great folks at www.cspn.us. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. Please share, rate, and review. Download as well if you are an iTunes user. You can also visit our Tumblr page at wrestlecast.tumblr.com. So we're going to get into a little bit of news as Impact has, everybody knows, moved their offices to Canada. And now they have new leadership as none other than Don Callis, a.k.a. Cyrus the Virus from ECW fame and WWF, the Truth Commission. And Scott D'Amore are now the basically vice presidents of Impact Wrestling. So they're basically taking over their creative and the day-to-day operation of Impact Wrestling. So I will ask Quan one more last ditch effort to try to save Impact. Do you think it'll work?
Hell no. That Impact is hanging on like Baron Corbin's hairline. That shit just should be gone. And I mean, I hate to say that competition should be gone, but damn, they change over worse than like a Burger King franchise. I think like, hey, look, we're not going to make it this time. I mean, how many times have they changed, like, what, in the last 2 or 3 years? About good 4 or 5 times?
If you can. Yeah, they've done a lot of, you know, stop and start, new leadership, new TV. So, you know, just another, I mean, they've got more than 9 lives at this point. I mean, they should have probably been dead 5 years ago, but somehow they're still holding on, so...
And supposedly I saw something where they said a lot of top folks might be leaving Impact anyway. So I read that somewhere. And at this point, I'm sure they're just like, you know, we've already done all of this numerous times. Like, I'm sure EC3 is like, I've been through all of these different changes, you know, and nothing is still working. So at some point, even though those checks may or may not clear, you may have to just go ahead and cash it on Wednesday rather than Friday. So, you know, at some point it got to be enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, maybe Didi Jonet will grace us with an Impact report in a couple of weeks and we'll get a temperature about how those people are doing over there.
Yeah.
That sounded so hopeful.
I mean, you know, I gotta wait for some things to come through.
Yeah, maybe maybe they'll have some programming that'll be worth watching in the next couple of 2 to 3 months, and everybody will be like, oh, guess what?
Yeah,
we have to watch Impact now.
I'm always down to give them a half hour of my time.
There you go.
I mean, I'm sure your check is going to cash quicker than Impact's will.
Oh yeah, I got direct deposit. Won't he do it? Yes, he will.
I'm pretty sure a lot of those guys do too, but they still be calling to make sure it's in there.
I get the email notification. It pop up. It's like, it's here. It's like, what a blessing.
You know they got on the answer machine. See, what had happened was I got a chicken in the safe.
Speaking of, and it's not my business, but you know, people are just, you know, they're rude, you know, unprofessional. So the cleaning lady came into my office around, you know, 5 o'clock, and she was like on the phone. She's like, are you serious? I was like, girl, what's serious? Long story not so long, they ain't paid her. And so she got to, I work in DC, and she was like, so you telling me I got to go to Arlington to pick up my check? And I was like, bitch, you better go to Arlington and get your money. Fuck you mean? She was like, I need a new job. This is ridiculous. I was like, yes, it is, girl. I can't relate.
Oh, that's awful.
Sips tea.
Yeah, the paper check days are awful. That's some.
I was like, I didn't even know they did that. But then again, I don't know if she's. I think she might be a temp because she don't even wear the uniform like everybody else wear. She don't know the schedule like everybody else know it.
Wait, how does she not wear the uniform like everybody?
She don't wear the uniform. Everybody else got blue. She coming in a white shirt, bitch. Why you got a white shirt on? That's not what they wear. So I feel like she's a temp, and they didn't give her her good uniform because she ain't made the cut yet.
Look, when you pay me correctly, I wear the uniform correctly.
Listen, ain't that it? So I don't know what's going on. All I know is she the first one to tell me, I got to go to Arlington to get my check. And I'm like, well, bitch, payroll is in Ashburn, so why do you have to go to Arlington? See, because I know where my money is, yes. So I don't know what's going on with her. But speaking of monies and direct deposit being suspicious, it's not just, you know, Impact. It's all over.
All right, so good luck to Don Callis and Scott DeMore.
I thought you were about to say good luck to my cleaning lady.
good luck to her, too, because I'm sure she gets to Arlington and they say, oh, well, it's going to take a few minutes. She might not have to worry about wearing the uniform no more.
She might burn the place down. She was like, they got me fucked up. I said, yes, they do, Susie. Yes, they do. Here my sick ass go. I'm trying to like commiserate where I'm like couldn't even get no words out. I was like it's awful.
So we'll get into our review of Monday Night Raw. Of course, it starts out with the in-ring promo. Kurt Angle welcomes us to the show, types the action he has set for us. Before Angle can announce Roman Reigns' opponent for the evening, Jason Jordan comes down and he wants a match with Roman. He claims that his knee is fine and tries to make his case for a match. He says that he can beat Reigns. He just needs a chance, Dad. Roman comes down. He says he isn't facing Jason Jordan because he wants Samoa Joe. He then tells Jason Jordan not to run to his daddy. If you want a title shot, step up. Jordan laughs it off and says Reigns is the poster boy for what WWE management wants. Reigns says he's been on a lot of posters because he's mainly been at a lot of shows, and he's earned it. Then Samoa Joe arrives. Samoa Joe says his patience is worn thin, and he accepts the challenge. But he'll give Reigns 5 seconds to take his challenge back. Jason Jordan says he doesn't have to attack people from behind, and then he challenges Samoa Joe. Jason Jordan suplexes Roman and is all fired up. Angle yells at Jordan, and Roman tells Joe that he's got to wait because Jason Jordan's about to get it right now. So, new Roman Reigns promo style. A little cocky, a little bit more relaxed. I think I like it.
It was good. It was like John Cena made him get a little hair on his chest. Like he was like, I'm the one now. But my part that I liked is the fact that Joe and Roman looked at Jason Jordan like, do you even go here? Why are you even here? Bro, ain't you supposed to be getting my bags or something?
I'm all for the Jason Jordan little heel stuff that's going on. I really like the way that he played it. You know what I'm saying? He kind of cut down Roman on some stuff, you know, that still is kind of the truth. But I don't know if it really affects Roman right now because he's got the cover of the Shield around him. So he's kind of like deflecting all that other stuff off. But still, I thought Jason Jordan stood out. And you can see that Jason Jordan is just an asshole. Is definitely the route that they need to be going. sooner than later.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming because he was acting. I'm gonna be real, real old here. He was acting like he was Silver Spoons dude, and he was like, "Look, Dad, look, look, I really need to get this title shot. Can please, like, nah, you done already got your ass whooped how many times?" And he's trying to play up Kurt's deadbeat dad, like, "Look, Dad, you weren't here for so long. You need to go ahead and take me to Six Flags." Just because.
Yeah, he's using that guilt on him. And it's working. Hey, man, use what you can. Take the advantage. Grab that silver spoon, that brass ring. I don't, you know, whatever you got to do to just try to get your name out there, you know, use all the advantages you can. So I like it. So we get the match, Roman Reigns versus Jason Jordan. Roman Reigns counters the suplex and then hits a Superman punch and then a spear, and Jason Jordan gets pinned. After the match, Samoa Joe hits the ring and attacks Roman. But Jordan suplexes Samoa Joe, saving Roman Reigns. Jason Jordan then eats another Superman punch for his troubles. So a three-segment match for Jason Jordan to lead off the show against Roman Reigns. Somebody had over the weekend, they basically said, hey, we're going to get Jason Jordan over. And it basically started right there. So good showing for him. The Northern Light suplexes with the bad knee is really the high spot of the match for Jason. And, Roman, you know, got a guy over, I think, a little bit. So kudos to him.
Somebody had to, because I thought he was getting over when he was talking about the fact that Roman, you know, he's the poster child. And it was like the crowd was like, actually, he is pretty good. And I was like, damn, like their hatred of Jason Jordan was even more than their hatred for Roman Reigns. I was like, well, damn.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
Jason Jordan had nuclear heat when he came out there to interrupt the announcement that it was going to be maybe Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns or whoever. So we get to after the commercial break, we see Kurt on the phone. I guess it's Stephanie he's talking to. Jason Jordan arrives and he says he wants to face Joe tonight as well. And then he wants to rematch with Roman next week. Kurt says he'll think about it. And then out of nowhere, Samoa Joe arrives and lays out Jason Jordan in a pile of his own tears. And then he talks some shit to Kurt like he always does on his way out.
Yo, somebody got to do something, because all these dudes, I think somebody in the live tweet was talking about how all these folks have no problem putting their hands on Jason Jordan while Kurt Angle is sitting there. First Triple H, Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns. You know, at some point you got to be like, well, Dad, can you like trip somebody? Can you like slow them down, hold them back? Shit.
Samoa Joe wiping out fools will never get old to me.
Oh, and never.
And I just don't understand why people don't be trying to put no respect on his name. I mean, how many times does he have to yoke somebody up for talking disrespectful? I mean, every time they talk greasy, they get dealt with.
And I'm telling you, from hell, even as soon as he did Brock Lesnar like that for talking spicy, he was like, and Brock wasn't even talking. It was Paul talking, and he just yoked him up like. Just went ahead and put that Kalina clutch on him. And was like, it's a wrap, bro.
Yeah, man, that's one of my favorite consistent things they're doing on Raw that I'll never get tired of. So now we move to what probably could have been a main event anywhere in the world a year and a half ago: Paige versus Sasha Banks. Sasha fights off the Rampage and gets Paige into the bank statement. Paige fights it off and makes the ropes. Paige then rolls to the floor and all the ladies, because of course we had Mickie James and Bayley rolling us back up for Sasha. And of course we had Mandy and Sonya Deville out there with Paige. The ladies look like they're ready to brawl. And then of course the big brawl does ensue. Sasha and Paige get back into the ring. Paige kicks Banks in the face, follows that up with the Rampage, and Paige gets the win. After the match, Absolution beats down Sasha because they had already beat down Mickie James and Bayley on the floor. So Absolution trying to look strong as usual. Again, I don't know how this is working on either side, SmackDown or Raw. It seems like they kind of just needed to, like, one at a time. Like, if you wanted to do Ruby Riott, then you should have just brought Ruby Riott by herself. Mm-hmm. Or you just should have bought the Iconic Duo and that's it.
Like, that would have been better. That would have been better.
But this kind of threesome on each side isn't kind of working, because the other two girls, nobody knows who they are, at least on the Paige side. Like, you know, okay, we all know Paige, but she hasn't been around in a year, so she's not really that over enough where she can uplift these other two no-name girls.
So would it have been better had they brought Paige in now and maybe a month or so later brought Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville in?
Yeah, but they needed to bring them in kind of separately, kind of, you know, give them the story of, oh, they get together, show them how you get together, not just all of a sudden, oh, Paige is back, we haven't seen her in forever, and she got these two other girls too. Like,
well, they might have been trying to fit it in because Paige was taking pictures like she was at the performance center and everything, so they might have been like, well, she's at the performance center, so they could play up the storyline of, oh, she was at the performance center and she was training with these two and they got cool or whatever and she decided to bring them up with them. But my whole thing is that, and we'll probably come to it later on when we talk about NXT, Mandy really hasn't been on TV a lot lately, and Sonya Deville, they've been kind of boosting her up. So I think it was kind of like Vince is on that thing of, and I hate to do it because I've been listening to too much of Pritchard's show, but Vince was like, well, bring them up. Just bring them up. You know, that sort of thing where he's just trying to rush people where they don't need to be. And probably he looked at Mandy and was like, oh, I might have another Alexa Bliss with Mandy and Sonya Deville. He's like, I guess we can just bring her up. But I see your point. I definitely see your point where it's like Paige is just now working herself back in because we sort of forgot about her during that whole time. And now it's like, we're bringing her in, but now we're going to bring these two new people. And these two new people, we still haven't seen wrestle unless you're watching the network. And, you know, in some cases, you really haven't seen them wrestle. So at some point, they're going to have to. And we're going to, I mean, I don't know if they're doing it at the, I don't even know what the next Raw pay-per-view is or when it is, but they're going to have to wrestle sooner or later so that people go, oh, well, this is why such and such is a badass. So,
right.
But they haven't done it yet. And I don't know if you paid attention to it, but I know I saw it that when Mandy Rose came in, when whatever move that she has, I'm not sure what they're calling it, but you see Mickie James took it. And I was looking at it. I was like, she took that move really wrong. And then when Sasha took it, I was like, oh, she did it correctly. Oh, okay. It was something like I think Mickie was scared and she put her knees down or something weird like that. And she didn't really like let go, but.
Yeah. She hasn't worked with Mandy Rose before. She probably didn't trust her and was like, this girl green, I'm not trying to get hurt.
Yeah. And for good or bad, you know, Sasha's like, I'm going to take the move. It is what it is. And we're just going to roll.
Yeah. Speaking of good or bad, that I don't know what that was. That suplex she took off the top where she landed like neck and shoulders first. Oh, it's so vulnerable thinking she's going to get broken in half.
You know, with me, you know, the boss bay is my heart. And I just be like, oh, when she takes certain moves and I still remember the move she took on Charlotte where she did the suicide dive out and you saw her body turn. And I cringe every time I watch her and I just go, please don't hurt yourself, please.
Right. Miss Didi Chaunet, let me get you in. What are your thoughts on Paige and her little group that she's running with, Absolution?
I think I just don't like MMA girls because I find that MMA girl super basic. Super basic. And it's like, Mandy seems overrated, but she's pretty. So I get her. Like, I get why they would want to push her, but the other girl just seems lacking. If I want to use that word, and I think that I do.
In personality or just overall?
A little bit of both.
Because Mandy was my former Creepcast Rookie of the Year for a minute there.
She racist?
Oh, Mandy!
Was she the one who said something about the Afro?
She said something on the airplane that knocked... Hey, look.
Y'all got y'all problem in the face. I know, it's fine.
I mean, you know, sometimes you just... Fine. Sometimes it happens and you be like... I mean, it happens that way.
Yeah, Mandy Rose, she's definitely a problematic one. But, you know, she's like definitely the Eva Marie clone. Like, definitely eye-catching, eye-popping, and hopefully we can teach her to wrestle. And listen. She's pretty, you know, and I guess they can maybe hope that she finds her voice on the mic. But We'll see.
Who, MMA bitch or Mandy? I'm sorry.
No, Mandy.
I had a technical difficulty. I missed it. I'm sorry.
Mandy, I'm sorry.
Man, wow. No, it's not your fault. My headphones. It's like, I think it's Mercury's in retrograde. Yeah. Like, I think that's what this is. So, yeah, no, I find MMA girl super basic. And Mandy, if she's your problematic fave, that's none of my business. So,
we all have them. I mean,
none of my faves are problematic. And if they are, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
I'm going to start going down the list. That's all right.
All though. My faves are married, and that's bad enough. I don't need them to be problematic on top of that. Like, it's fine. It's okay.
Speaking of one of your faves, the Drifter.
Yes.
With Kurt Angle, and he wants another shot at Roman, and then he admonishes Kurt for showing favoritism.
Damn
to
right.
His son.
Mm-hmm.
The Drifter
See,
says
it's reverse. Affirmative action.
How you go over? Wait, what?
Wait, what? I guess it is affirmative action. Help a little biracial boy.
Wait, that's only half reverse racist. He only gets half.
Oh my lord. But yeah, you know, Elias is right to be upset. Damn it.
Elias says that he would provide a musical performance later. And then he says that Kurt showing bias towards his bastard son will be his downfall.
Yo, you know what? They going to get enough of getting on Kurt for having an illegitimate son. They just be like saying stuff in front of his face. At some point, he got to smack somebody.
And, yo, Kurt, can we talk about how nobody is afraid to spit hot fire about Jason Jordan to Kurt's face? Like, nobody's afraid to talk shit. Nobody's afraid to put the paws on him. They look at him like, what? Like, you was gone for 20 years. What you gonna do now? Nothing. I know. Like, they be punking the shit out of both of them. It's awful.
I be like, well, damn. I mean, Kurt did just wrestle. And they just be like, you ain't nobody.
They don't give no fucks. He was a part of the Shield for a good week. And nobody cares.
They like, you ain't gonna do nothing. You ain't nobody.
They be putting a paws on that boy. That's a shame. He's no kind of father. It's awful.
Look, he been deadbeat for this long. I mean,
you know, and it's honest. Like, I wonder if Jason's gonna be like, you would never let your white you would never let your white kids get beat up like this.
Like, look, I was in Chicago and the lights went off and you ain't even come over.
You ain't care. You ain't check on me. You ain't try to protect me. You ain't give me a bodyguard. You don't love me. It's a mess. Schism is what it is.
You didn't take me to Six Flags near Chicago. You just. Nah, you're taking me on roller coasters and shit.
All of this is just going to make whatever Jason Jordan does that much more meaningful, if y'all are noticing that already. Because when he does finally decide to, I don't know, whatever he's going to do to break out from underneath Kurt, it's going to be huge. And that might be like a lot of the ammunition he uses. Is, look at all the times people jumped on me. You didn't help me.
My lights went off. I had no book bag. We was eating oodles and noodles.
He was never there for me. So a guy who is trying to get his guys behind him is Enzo. He's rallying his troops ahead of tonight's Cruiserweight Contenders match. He's praising Drew Gulak and Tony Nese, but he's running down Noam Dar and Daivari for losing last week. The second best part of this promo besides the end was Daivari sitting there counting his money, not listening to really what he had to say until he mentioned his name, and then he looked up and stopped for a second, and then he went back to counting his money when he was talking shit about him.
Look, it's all about them checks. He like, shit.
When he was on 205 Live and he cut that promo and he was like, Daivari De Niro, I was like, ooh, he got something with that. He needs to run with that. So, yeah, that was pretty cool to see that. So, after Enzo gives little pep talks and he runs down on him, Daron Daivari, and the Cruiserweights walk away, all of a sudden, Nia Jax pops up with this big old smile on her face. And she just had a question for Enzo. How you doing?
Look, I got some problem with him with Nia Snacks sitting up there because she's looking all like a meal and everything. And, you know, got to go ahead and put the notifications on her IG, you know, just for the creep cast. But, no, I don't know if Enzo can handle all that. Because, you know, me, myself, if that leg drop come on me, I just bury me a G and just put a good eulogy out for me. That's all.
Does Enzo even meet the height requirement for that ride?
Hell no. Hell no. He no, nope, nope.
I put out on Twitter that Nia Jax and Young Littlefoot are gonna be singing "That Boy Is Mine" over Enzo.
But look, me and Young Littlefoot gonna have to have some talks with our with our secondary base. You know, since Sasha married, you know, she gonna have to talk to Enzo. I'm gonna have to talk to Nia and just be like, "Hey, look." That dude ain't no. We're not gonna do this. You're not gonna do me like this, now.
Didi, what do you feel about a potential Nia Jax shooting her shot at Enzo?
I was a little more, you know, to the point when I said on Twitter, Nia done stole Young Littlefoot's man, because it's not like Young Littlefoot go fight for him and win. But I think it's cute. I like a good China Eddie Guerrero situation a little bit, kind of bitches on size. Not saying that he's as good as Eddie, because let's be serious, but I like the idea of it. I kind of like the idea of her being like soft and sweet and sexy. Maybe her outfits will be more snack like.
Hey, she already had a snack like with the, she had the like lace on the thigh. I was looking like, hey.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, there are places to go. We can go further. So that could be a thing. And then somebody said on Twitter, what if this is just like a long con for, no, but that wouldn't work because Enzo has a 205 and that is nobody's 205. But somebody said, what if it was a long con for her to get the title? Probably thinking back to like IC Championship with China days. And I was like, oh, that'd be cute. But again, Nia is nobody's 205, so.
Well, no, you got to go back. What if it's like Beth Phoenix and what is my man? The
big motherfucker. Yeah.
No, when it was like, it was Beth Phoenix and the dude that tried, damn it.
Oh, Santino?
Santino, yes. Yeah, because you got to lower his ass down like Santino, because Nia is like up there.
I like to pretend Beth Phoenix never happened.
Damn.
I never saw it for her. And then when she got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I was like, oh, so we just let anybody in.
And then she took your man.
Had babies with that dude. Like, it's so rude.
I know how you
so
feel.
So nasty and so rude.
I know how you feel about Edge.
I didn't like her anyway, and that just like sealed the deal.
Oh, damn.
It was like, I'm never gonna like you now. Fuck you. Like, you know how sometimes like your faves get with somebody, and you're like, oh, maybe she's not half bad. They got together and like, you're awful. Like,
damn.
I'm very serious about my love of Edge. Like, no, you're not good enough. And I'm sure she's a perfectly fine woman. And it's not like Edge isn't a hoe. So, you know, like, I'm sure it evens out. But, like, I just...
Wow. So see, that's your problematic fave. If you can call Edge a hoe...
Yeah, that's not problematic. That's just a fact. He's a hoe.
How is he a hoe? What, he messed with Lita while Matt Hardy was sick?
And while he was married. But that's okay.
Shit happens.
Listen, I'm not judging. It's just a statement. It's not a judgment.
It turned into one of the best stories.
It did. But I know they all had to be like, are you fucking shit? Like, really? Really? And they're like, really?
That's shit, and that was in the age of, like, pagers and shit, where you was, like, paging people like, you here?
It was easy to cheat back then, and it's not like it would have been like, I saw your ass on Instagram with that whore. Like, Ric Flair never would have had all them hoes in the age of Instagram, because they'd have been
shit.
I see. No, because you know you have to have plausible deniability as a wife. You can say whatever he did, I didn't see it, I didn't know. In so this you think, day and age, they'd have been like, see, if he's right there, and he's right there, and he's right there.
So you think one of the chicks,
he's over there.
So you think one of the 10,000 chicks in Wichita would have taken a picture while he was asleep?
Please, instantly. And hey, been like, woo, hashtag.
Truth be told, Ric Flair probably would have had the most fire Instagram back in the day, because he'd be like, sure. This. Yeah, so this chick in such and such Kansas got my belt on.
Listen, like, if we could have a single Ric Flair now, like, the shit would just be like, oh, actually, we kind of have one. What's that motherfucker's name? Dan, what the fuck? The one who don't have no job, but I got a shit ton of money. He be around all the naked chicks. That's like Ric Flair, but with no job. It's amazing. It's great. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I'm not into the naked hoes because they're all, you know, flat-ass Caucasian women. But that's just that aesthetic, if that's what you like.
I mean, that's what Snapchat is for. That actually, no, Ric Flair would have had the most fire Snapchat.
Oh, yes. No discernible proof after 24 hours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just quick little snippets.
Yeah.
Like,
if you'd have just seen him in random-ass bedrooms going, woo, he'd be like, what's that?
So he would have had all of this shit on 10 seconds, like, click.
So we get our Cruiserweight Contenders match of Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, Drew Gulak, and Tony Nese. Tony Nese knocks Mustafa Ali to the mat, and he hits the running Nese, but Alexander then comes up behind Nese and hits the lumbar check, and Nese rolls to the floor. Alexander gives a lumbar check to Ali, but Drew Gulak takes out Cedric Alexander and steals the pin on Mustafa Ali. Drew Gulak, as the winner, gets the post-match interview and teases the PowerPoint presentation, but he gets played off just like he went too long at the Oscars. They hit the wrap it up button.
Yo, when they gonna put respect on Cedric Alexander's name and just be like, you know what, dude, you too good for 205 Live. We just gonna take you off of there.
You want him to go straight to the main roster. I want him to be the champion on 205. Small steps.
They could have been did that. If we're being honest, they could have been did that because Tozawa was champion against Enzo, but, you know, it's kind of like, we could do better than that. Because supposedly Cedric Alexander was like looking at Roman Reigns like, huh, so an open challenge? Why not?
Yeah, that would be, eventually I think they're going to get there where if once 205 kind of, if it can stabilize itself, looks like the thing with Enzo is starting to kind of get people to kind of at least go to it a little bit more. If they can get it kind of stabilized, I think they might start doing that intermixing of some of the cruiserweights into some of the other main roster things, especially if they wanted to like get the tag team division some new life. That would definitely be the way to go. Mix up like a bigger guy with one of the cruiserweights, make a good tag team, like a power and speed type of tag team. So there's potential there, but I still think it's probably like a year away because Vince is determined to make 205 Live a good show.
Cedric Alexander joining the Titus Worldwide brand.
But they got to make sure Titus Worldwide is a good brand first, though. I don't want them to go over there and just become like Apollo Crews 2.0.
Valid.
If they're going to do something with Titus Worldwide and like they kind of were doing when they, I think what messed them up was the Ball family saying, you know, nigga on TV. Ever since then, everything about the, you know, Titus brand been on the like downslide.
Yeah, that's true.
But if they was going to boost it up, then yeah, I would have no problem with Cedric Alexander going over there and be a part of that. So Dana Brooke's still trying to be a part of it, though. So
Nope. She can't be with the brand. Nope. You tapped out the Oscar in 5 seconds. Nope. Now, if we throw ahead, I'm just saying, if they want to bring it up, put Sasha on the brand. I'm just saying. But they got to win some shit.
Yeah. It's going to be only associated with winners. Like Mike Singletary now. So we get the Drifter, and he comes out for a special performance. He sings a song about L.A. because they're in Los Angeles at Staples Center. Everything's going fine until Braun comes out. The Drifter does what any sane person would do. He runs. Then he tries to sneak attack Braun, and that didn't work out so well for him. So, of course, Braun, you know, kills him, gives him the big power slam. The Drifter escapes, and then he hits Braun with the guitar. That just makes Braun big mad. Braun then really proceeds to destroy Elias again. Braun then tosses steps into the ring because he wasn't finished with Elias yet. Kane's music hits. He challenges Braun to a match next week, and Kane says that he will be the only monster left in WWE.
Can they, like, hold that off to the next pay-per-view and, like, some bullshit happens like it usually will on Raw? Because that's that same thing that you like to say where, you know, certain people shouldn't touch before the pay-per-view.
Right.
I know Kane is, you know, I don't know how that mayor shit worked out, but they shouldn't touch each other until the pay-per-view.
Well, Raw's in a interesting dilemma because they don't have another big show until Royal Rumble. because they don't get a December pay-per-view. The December pay-per-view goes to SmackDown, which is in 12 days, folks. Class
change. They don't get Roadblock? I thought they get Roadblock.
I thought I think that's the February one after January.
Son of a bitch. They should they need to go ahead and just sit. This would be one of those things where you hope bullshit happens and they don't actually touch. And, you know, you just be like, Or maybe Kane did win. I ain't pay attention to that shit. So maybe Kane won and they're like, this is our way to go ahead and usher him out. So,
Well, we thought that happened a couple of weeks ago when he power slammed him through the ring. But, you know, he came back and got his get back. So it shall continue.
It would have been dope if they like ended Kane's shit with like him and Braun had a like an inferno match just to end it all, and they ended Kane retires, so on and so forth, going to the Hall of Fame next year and be done with it.
Now, that might be something if they could build it up for WrestleMania, that would be something that they could probably take to WrestleMania to kind of, you know, give Kane the proper appreciation and send off for the career that he's had.
And then Vince got to do that call. It's got to be Kane leaving. Kane's leaving.
So we get Dee Dee's favorite threesome on Raw, The Shield. They meet backstage. They hype up tonight's tag team title match. And all of them, after Rollins and Ambrose win, will have gold together again.
Speaking of Seth, my cousin has said that she no longer... Seth is no longer on her top rung of WWE folks because he didn't eat cake at Dean's party. She's like, he's allergic to chocolate. He didn't eat chocolate cake. He only ate a bite. Like, come on now.
CrossFit Jesus. He's got standards.
He's got standards, and I'm sure he eats some sort of chocolate cake, you know, creepcast.
Hanging out with the New Day and Xavier, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's turned them on to some chocolate cake. So we have Asuka versus Alicia Fox. Asuka avoids the axe kick and lays in her own kicks. Then she hits the armbar, and that finishes off Alicia Fox. Absolution comes back out. They stand around the ring. They kind of have a stare down with Asuka. Asuka leaves. Paige gets in the ring, and she tells Foxy to relax because she's not there to hurt her. She says they're friends. Paige says Foxy was the only one who liked her when she was here. Paige says that she loves Foxy, but she just doesn't think Sonya or Mandy feel the same way. Sonya and Mandy beat Foxy down, and Absolution stands tall.
So y'all think we build into like Paige Asuka at WrestleMania just so that they like just keep bullshitting us around and just like they're not gonna touch her, they're not gonna touch her. But you know, overall, that actually, as much as Sam loves to hate on Alicia Fox, that was actually a decent match for her. She actually did pretty good.
The promo in the little box before the match was really good, too.
You know what? I'll put it like this. Alicia will never be Sasha and Alexa and the rest of them, but she's finding her little spots here and there. But it was just like, but Paige is real shady as shit. See, that's why you don't trust pale folks. Because she was just like, I have no problem with you, but, we good. You was my friend and all, but they don't know you. So I ain't got shit to do with that. You good. I was like, damn.
Yeah, that was kind of foul. There were some developments that happened. Apparently, the rumor mill says that a former MMA big-time person who had some, pretty impressive losses was, you know, putting the finishing touches on, you know, a WWE contract. And I think that person in Asuka might be your WrestleMania main event there, sir.
Boo!
Or what they might do is what we saw at the Mae Young Classic, hashtag Forever Young, where, you know, they had the little face-off and only one of the, you know, they had the MMA four horsewomen and the NXT four horsewomen, except Sasha, who wasn't there. So, you know, Vince is probably salivating at that. So that might be the one, and then maybe next year you get that former MMA person that has some impressive losses, and Oscar, because I don't think that person is ready for Oscar. And I'm not tweeting that they're not ready for Oscar, because if Vince want to call me for a job and shit like that,
you don't want to be Leo Rush out here.
Nope, I ain't even gonna say his name, because I'm not even gonna be. They'll be like, oh, who that dude? Oh, you know that dude that did that? What me?
It was almost grand opening, grand closing for him, but luckily, cooler heads prevailed. So in a Didi Jonet Baywatch match, we have Finn Balor versus Bo Dallas. And Bo Dallas comes out to the Miz's music in honor of the Miz, taking a little time off here with things going on in his life. So Bo Dallas slams Finn into the buckles, and he rolls him up and gets a two count. Finn then hits the sling blade, then he hits the double stomp, and that puts Bo Dallas away. So good effort by Bo Dallas. Curtis Axel, even with the neck brace, tried to help his buddy out. Caused a little bit of a distraction.
Hey.
But it wasn't enough. But it was good to see Bo Dallas wrestling. Need to see Bo Dallas win some matches, though.
Yes, please. He deserves.
You know what, though?
Give that black man a chance.
But I miss the NXT Bo Dallas, where he was like, he was the asshole heel. He's starting to get back into it, hanging out with Miz, but he's not there. And anytime I watch a Finn Balor match, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe I'll do some crunches or stop drinking or eating donuts or something. And I'd be like, fuck it. I like life. I want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Finn is amazing. Chicken and broccoli for you.
I eat chicken and broccoli, but I like the extra sauce, and I also like whiskey.
Not the Chinese chicken and broccoli, just baked chicken.
Oh,
steamed
no.
broccoli.
Oh, fuck that. No, I'm the Chinese chicken and broccoli with extra sauce and chicken.
I know that's what you're that sounds like. That's not what they eat.
why are you insulting what I have for dinner tonight, there, sir?
Like, fuck all that. And
with
like
the white rice, too. Fuck a brown rice. I want white. Starchy.
Give me all the starches and shit. And matter of fact, make my whiskey and make it. You ain't got to put water or ice in it. Just make it straight. Fuck all that.
Damn.
Full plate of black people health problems.
Hell listen, yeah. Give me
high blood pressure, gout. Daddy.
Look, I'm going to be the kid in Soul Food crying. Look, y'all ain't make catfish like Big Mama did. Cut off my foot. That's the type of meal I want.
What type of meal your pinky so go numb and you just be like, some good food.
We get the highlight of the night for me personally. As we get this Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy, Run DMC tag team promo. So it starts out with Bray Wyatt saying that he knows who Matt Hardy is, but Matt doesn't. Matt Hardy interrupts, and he starts talking about his soul wandering through space and time. Then we go back to Bray. Bray calls Matt a failure. Matt then cuts in, and he says that he's in tune with the multiverse, and he's danced with Cleopatra and held symposiums with Plato. Due to his condition, he's laid dormant inside Matt Hardy. But due to his condition, he is now awoken. Then we switch back to Bray Wyatt. And Bray says that his fire grows stronger. His fire will make sure all of you burn. Matt says that he sentences Wyatt to deletion. Wyatt laughs. And then Matt laughs. And then we go to the crowd and everybody's going, delete, 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 delete. But I truly won't believe Matt Hardy is woke until he comes out with the Black Lives Matter t-shirt. And then it's all.
So, that'll never happen.
Nope. Not ever. He's still from North Carolina, and he ain't from
Vince McMahon is still his boss.
Wait. He ain't from Charlotte, North Carolina. He from like the country where they ride ATVs and shit. So he ain't gonna be woken. He'll be broken, but his ass ain't woken as shit.
Listen, even if he was, Vince would be in the back like, guess what you're not fucking doing?
But actually, I just because nobody watches Impact, other than, ain't shit else on.
I watched it for 15 minutes. Don't do all that.
I didn't say all that. I mean, watch it for like 15. I watch it for like 5 if it's on.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all you need to get the gist of it.
I mean, I got like a good 5 minutes in. I watched like even the total deletion. Like, I watched.
Oh, no, I watched all of that. Yeah.
I watched like 75% of it. I had to watch it because, you know, they got it on demand and shit like that. So I watched it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I was like, okay. But you got to remember that most of you know, the universe and Vince, they asses was like, I have no idea what this deletion shit is, except if your ass went to WrestleMania and like 50% of y'all asses knew what it was.
Right.
But, you know, nobody watches Impact like that. They all heard about it and saw it on YouTube and shit. But other than that, they was like, I have no idea what this is. But then when it seemed like when he did it last week, it was like 3 people in the crowd knew what delete meant. Mm-hmm. And like this week, it was like, oh, we're sort of in on this. And I know he's supposed to be tough, but I saw that shit and I laughed my ass off. I was like, this motherfucker. So about I've been with Plato, and he's like, I'm like nigga, no you didn't.
It's the Anthem folks finally came up off it and was basically like, you know, whatever our talent who is no longer with us, whatever they created within our, you know, jurisdiction, they can take it with them and use it on other platforms. So that's basically the reason why, like, we're seeing it kind of. Like, get fooled right now.
Well, their asses didn't secure the bag because supposedly Matt Hardy, the rumor innuendos and shit like that, said he was going to pay them $10,000 straight out and his wife would quit talking shit about them on Twitter. And they said, no, nah, we want $10,000, her to talk shit on her to stop talking shit on Twitter, and then pieces of whatever you make. And they was like,
hell no.
If you don't, get the fuck out of here. And then it was like, oh, well, we gonna try to trademark it. And he was like, motherfucker, I already did that shit. You good. You ain't gonna get that shit to pass. And they was like, I guess we can't.
Yeah, so
I guess we have to.
This is gonna be fun to watch. And it's the best program that Bray Wyatt can actually ask for. And
absolutely.
Because, I mean, if there's anybody in the WWE that would break or awake, in this case, Matt Hardy. It definitely would be Bray Wyatt. So much better program than him and Finn or him and Randy Orton. So I can't wait to see where they actually go with this one.
It's going to be fun because it's the first thing that Bray really had a chance to really play with since what, The Undertaker?
Right.
And if that was, I mean, he carried that Undertaker match to WrestleMania basically on his own. So for all intents and purposes, I'm sure Bray is probably licking his chops because he's like, oh, somebody that's actually going to be there on a daily on a weekly basis where I can sort of interplay with him, you know.
Right.
Because the Randy Orton, you know, the House of Horrors thing was kind of, you know, was really shitty. And it was just like, he's not going to play around with it. And I'm sure, and they've always said that Matt has been the one that enjoys doing this shit. So he's going to have fun with it, which means Bray is going to have fun with it, and we're going to see better Bray overall.
Right. So we get our main event, Raw Tag Team title match. We have Sheamus and Cesaro, The Bar, versus Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Seth Rollins counters the Neutralizer and hits the Snowmaker, but Sheamus makes his save. Sheamus then gets disqualified for Sam's favorite reason, kicking too much ass. Kurt Angle comes in. He restarts the match, and he says that now it is a no disqualification match. Samoa Joe then arrives on the scene, and he attacks Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, helping out the champs. Roman Reigns comes down to even the odds, and he chases Samoa Joe away. But while he's doing that, Sheamus hits a bro kick on Rollins and pins him, and the champions retain their titles.
So y'all think Dean and Seth had to pay for dinner since Roman won his shit, and he's just like this. Oh, I'm going to have a couple of extra drinks because y'all motherfuckers didn't win. I won, though.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it was a lot of, like, side eyes going on. Like, man, you distracted us and cost us our titles, man. We had it. Oh, we was handling things all right before you came down here.
Ish. Adjacent.
Yeah, but we started watching you and Samoa Joe, and then the next thing you know, Seth
wait.
To the face.
Didi, was that a distraction finish? Does that count?
Absolutely.
Drink up.
If you have to ask, the answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I drink all my tea, so
I'm on Jim Beam Fire now, so
come on.
So that was your Monday Night Raw from the Staples Center.
It's lit.
Now we're going to turn it over to our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet.
Oh my gosh, you guys, the things, they happened. They happened in San Diego, California. Sammy come out. Owens welcomes us to the Sammy and Kevin show. Sammy says, welcome to the Kevin and Sammy show. There are some you suck chants. Not in the Kurt Angle kind of way. They talk about being on the wrong side of a McMahon family vendetta. It's tough. Just ask Daniel Bryan, Bret Hart, or Steve Austin.
Ooh.
Kevin and Sammy say that they're better than all of those guys, and now they're the latest targets. Kevin says Shane sent Randy after him the same way Stephanie would do that with Randy and other people. Kevin said that Orton has been handed everything, whereas he and Sammy have had to work for everything. Owens knew that he had to take Orton out and then said that they outsmarted Shane. No lies spoken.
None whatsoever.
So then Sammy says, Sammy gives everybody a presentation showing the difference between being in the ring and ringside. He points out the terrible announce team, again, spot the lie, and the ring announcer, whose name he doesn't know. Then he goes into the ramp, and he lets everybody know that that is not ringside, and that is where he attacked Randy. He said they won by playing the system. And then while Sammy's on the stage or the ramp, Kevin's in the middle of the ring. Out of nowhere, per usual, Randy shows up and gives Kevin an RKO.
RK, all lives matter. I forgot, motherfucker.
I'm not enthused by anything Randy Orton does, but I could see how it could be interesting to some people. Anyway, Shane enters the arena, makes a match for Clash of Champions. It'll be Sammy and Kevin versus Randy Orton and a partner of his choosing. He puts Sammy in a match with Orton tonight and says Kevin will be handcuffed to the ring ropes. Backstage, Kevin's mad. What's his name? Is like, we'll call the American Civil Liberties Union. And so then Owens tries to find Daniel Bryan to get out of the match. Anyway, first match of the night, Rusev and Aiden English versus Big E and Kofi Kingston. Like every day, today is Rusev Day.
It's Rusev.
I mean, I'm still waiting for them to put that on iTunes. I'm really salty that they ain't did that yet, but you know.
Well, they got the shirt, so they're off to a start.
It's getting there.
Look, I need it to my workout playlist. I mean, we're being honest.
I mean, you can rip it from the TV if you bought that life.
I ain't doing all that. I need to put it on.
I said if you bought that life. Anyway, Aiden began singing the 12 Days of Rusev. I don't know what all it included, but I'm sure it was hilarious. I saw it. I drank a lot.
Does it also count as Zero Lana's Knocked Up? I'm sorry, I was watching Total Divas. Go ahead, continue.
They just got married. You got to be married for a year. Like, look, love your man before you pop out a baby.
Look, my cousin has already said, look, give her 2 weeks and she got him. But, you know, that is what it is.
I mean, yeah, she ain't wrong. So, excuse me. Rusev trips Kingston off the top rope as he's going for a springboard move and hits a suplex to the back of the head for the win. After the match, the crowd chants Rusev Day because we love Rusev. Excuse me again. Backstage, Mojo is talking to Renee Young, and he says that everybody's been talking about what he did to Zack Ryder, including Gronk, aka Rob Gronkowski, like they're on a first name basis or a nickname basis. That's not your friend. That's Zack's friend. Calm your tits. You know, Spicy Whites be trying it too. You know,
look, Spicy Whites be doing that. I mean,
yeah, they try just like their, you know, original recipe whites. It's okay. I mean,
hey, look, just because we gotta wait an extra 10 minutes for your ass at Popeyes, I mean, you know, whatever.
Right. Mojo brings up what Zach has done to him, basically saying once Zach was out of the way, Mojo was doing great. He won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And just as things were going well for him, Zach came back, drug him down. He calls Zach dead weight and says he's nobody's tag partner and tells everyone to shove it.
I mean, that's real, though, because, you know, Zach, like, just came up like, hey, I'm not injured anymore. My shine is, like, real, real bright, and you just had to, like, step in the way. So,
I mean, but be a grown-ass man and say, I'm really prospering out in these streets without you, so you're going to have to wait.
But, you know,
your own matches.
But, you know, the mild whites like to go jump in there and be like, hey, I'm still with you. And be like,
listen, nah, spicy white is still white. And they be like, no, thank you, Shannon. Like, if they don't want to do something, they don't do it. Don't let Mojo fool you. He should have used his words. Anyway, the tag title match at Clash. Why can't I say that? Clash of Champions will now be a four-way. The Usos versus Gable and Benjamin. The New Day and Rusev and Aiden English. Four guys. So all four teams will be in the ring at once.
Hold on. Let's talk about where do you think they got those big ass pancakes from?
Yo, them pancakes. Hey, them pancakes was on point though, because them looked all fluffy and shit.
You just gotta have a big pan, that's all.
I mean, that was from a cast iron skillet. That wasn't a normal ass skillet. Y'all realize
maybe. Gotta boil and butter it up so it don't stick. Make it real golden.
You know, it had like some spices from like 30 years ago. That's been used for a minute.
I can only imagine what's on the horizon, because they're getting this 2 weeks and this pancake thing is already out of control. Did you see when they poured it out of the Bootios box? The kid thought he's going to get Bootios, a big pancake in him in the face.
Hey, that thing looked real, real fluffy. That kid should have been like thankful for that shit.
He didn't have no syrup, is that really, you know?
I mean, who says that wasn't like a, you know, like
a McGriddle with the syrup inside?
There you go.
You're doing a lot.
It might actually have some bacon in there for all we know.
Giving them a whole lot.
I am. But, you know, WWE catering might be on point like that. They'd be like, hey, we need some real, real fluffy pancakes.
It's possible. All right. So backstage, Carmella, Lana, and Tamina are in Daniel's office. Lord, I'm sorry. Carmella said she rid the world of James Ellsworth, so that alone should earn her a title match. Natty's like, why isn't Natalya? No, Lana is wondering why Natty is getting a title shot after she bailed on her match last week. Carmella can be added to the match if she uses her briefcase, and she's like, nah, I won't do all that. And she calls the case Frankie. So then the Riot Squad shows up. That's some three basic bitches. Whatever. I said what I said. And hey, Ruby wants... Ruby wants to know why she's not in the title match after she pinned Charlotte after her 1 week up at the main roster. She wonders if it's because of her tattoos and if it's because she doesn't fit in with his Bella Army shade. So then Liv Morgan accuses him of discriminating against blondes, and then Sarah Logan accuses him of being prejudiced against the South and, like, I don't know, roadkill or whatever. So then... the two sides are yelling at each other, and Brian screams, like, from the depths of his spirit for them to stop it. And then he's like, fine, you know what you can do? You can be Lumberjacks at the Clash of Champions for the title match. as we move on. Baron Corbin approaches Bobby Roode backstage and wonders what he thought of Ziggler's being added to their title match, considering he doesn't deserve a shot. Bobby said he could beat Baron one-on-one and didn't really like Ziggler being added to the match either. Ziggler is nearby, shows up behind him, runs down his accolades, including cashing in his Money in the Bank contract successfully. Shade, Reed, get him, yes. Then he said they needed him in the match because the performance is more important than the title, and their odds of winning just dropped to zero. And that's
I mean, if we're being honest, HB Ziggles wasn't wrong. I mean, we're being honest.
Just because his little entrance music isn't as glorious, he don't gotta be a hater about it.
He did like look at Baron Corbin like, I did have Money in the Bank, and you like in there with Sandow, so yeah. you held that briefcase for like a good 2 seconds, so you was good.
Oh, he's got a beard and a tan. That's lit. Okay, anyway, Bludgeon Brothers versus Adam. Adam James and Josh Carr.
So gas station attendants and 7-Eleven employees.
Exactly.
Fake ass Young Bucks.
Oh, is that who they were?
They were like Larry Merchant used to say in boxing. So you fought 7-Eleven attendants and employees. Okay, good job.
Yeah, that's what they look like to me. Some knockoffs of the Young Bucks. Like they're maybe trying to like rib them because, you know.
Like a little shade.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. So yeah, they were beaten via a double choke slam. Owens tells Sammy that he spoke to Daniel and Brent, he said he would think about fixing the match, blah, blah, blah. So next is Bobby Roode versus why are you breathing so hard, Golden Eyes? Calm down.
I'm on like my fourth
you
drink.
You drunk. You gotta put your phone on mute then. You can't be breathing into the mic all hard. You can't be getting the women excited, Golden Eyes. That's not professional. This ain't that kind of podcast.
They're not seeing my eyes.
You sit up there giving that eye voice to men. Like, calm down.
I'm not giving the wine yet.
You was sighing into the microphone. I was like, okay, look at the moment. Like, I know ain't nobody over there, but do I know ain't nobody over there? Like, I'm just saying. Anyway, so Bobby Roode versus Baron Corbin. Ziggles is on commentary. Partway into the match, he jumps into the ring after Roode and Corbin have collided via clotheslines. So Ziggles is looking around like he's trying to figure out what he should do, and he eventually gives Bobby a zigzag. The referee calls for the bell. Therefore, Bobby wins via DQ. But then Ziggles gives another zigzag to Baron Corbin. So that's how that goes. Backstage, Natty Bo is happy that Carmella, Lana, and Tamina are going to be ringside. Carmella's like, bitch, we're lumberjacks. We're not here rooting you on. And Natty says that she would have Tamina's back against Charlotte and basically wondered if they would do the same for her at Clash of Champions. And they're like, not really, bitch. So then she takes the shot at the Riot Squad. They show up behind her, and then she's like, oh my god, I'm so happy to see you, because you know I used to be a part of the welcoming committee, and I don't have any friends but my cats, so I love you. Or something like that. Yeah. It went like that. And so then there was a match. Charlotte versus Tamina. Lana, Carmella, and Natty Bo are all ringside. Charlotte wins via figure eight. That's what it was. So then Natty warns Charlotte of what's to come. They're interrupted by the Riot Squad. Ruby agreed with Natty Bo that Charlotte should get a preview of Clash of Champions, but they wanted to do it themselves. So while they're at the ringside, Tamina and all the other girls are kind of standing off looking at Ruby's pose. And Tamina is like, fuck the frail shit, and attacks Logan. And so they brawl, but then they're separated from their teams. And it's like, really? Carmella can't really pull you back unless you want to be pulled back, but you made your point, Tamina. I'm a fan. I love it.
I mean, because Liv is from Jersey. She not really about that life. It's like Jersey, her being from Jersey and Carmella being from Staten Island. They not about that life.
I mean, you can be about that life and be from Jersey. It's just that she's not about that life.
She not from Newark. She from like some other shitty place in New Jersey.
That's rude.
I mean, I don't know anything else in New Jersey.
So like because you don't know what it means, it's okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I know Brick City, and that's about it. Other than that, do I care about Jersey?
I mean, nobody.
Probably not.
Oh, that bitch from Paramus. Forget I said anything.
This match.
Forget I said anything.
This match disappointed me. Y'all don't know how long I've been waiting to see Tamina and Charlotte.
Because they were bullshitting. They were bullshitting on that match to like basically get the Riot Squad over, but it's like that was a match everybody wanted because we saw what happened at Money in the Bank when those two were like in the ring by themselves. But you know, Vince is like, "Ooh, I got this new toy." So since he got this new toy, the Riot Squad, he like fuck the match that everybody wanted to see.
Can I just say, I feel like it is the height of laziness that you introduced three new girls from Raw and SmackDown during the same week, doing essentially the same bullshit. Like,
all right.
I mean, so whack.
I mean, you know, Triple H is like trying to lock Vince in his office. You know, I'm sorry.
He needs to because it's stupid. You can at least get four from one team to make it a little bit different. It's just like
they
exactly the same.
They ain't got that many ready. if they were smart, it would have been the iconic duo. But, you know, Vince was like, I like blondes.
I mean, you say they don't have that many people ready, but is MMA bitch really ready? Like, who is she? Why don't I know her name?
She's straight if you watch, like, NXT.
Oh, so she's basic. Okay, great.
Next. Damn. Well, damn.
Listen, I'm just going off what you told me.
I'm just saying. She actually is straight. She just kind of, you know, takes a minute.
She's basic. Okay, next. Kevin and Sammy approach Daniel Bryan backstage for his final decision about the match. And Daniel says he considered their complaint, but he says that Shane is right and Owen should be handcuffed to the ring. So that's what happens. So final match of the night, Randy versus Sammy. I don't really want to go into it. It's really annoying.
That's the only match I'm like, Randy can win, Randy can lose, and I'll be happy with it. He's still
I want him to lose in every iteration, and he never does lose when I'm watching. Maybe I'm bad luck. But anyway,
He's still all AWOL matters. I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah. But anyway, at some point, Sammy grabbed the bolt cutters, tried to free Owens, and stopped him, but eventually Owens did get off of the handcuffs. So, you know, whatever. There's a superplex, blah, blah, blah. Orton gives Sammy a draping DDT. Owens distracts Orton, allowing Sammy to use a schoolboy for a two count. Orton then dodges the Huluva kick, uses a schoolboy of his own for a win. They jump Orton afterwards, and then the Bay comes out, Shinsuke of Nakamura. He makes the save. He hits kicks to both Kevin and Sammy. He levels Owens with a Kinshasa. Then Orton gave Sammy an RKO, and then they shake hands. There's some replays. Right. It's not over. There's some replays, and then Nakamura picks up Kevin, and Orton gives him an RKO. Then Orton picks up Sammy, and Nakamura gives him a Kinshasa. And then they play Nakamura's music, and that's what matters.
I need people of color to quit saving Randy. I need Nakamura to quit saving his ass. I'm sorry.
That would be my idea. But finally, they're backstage, Daniel and Shane. He asks Shane if this means that they're done punishing him. Shane says, absolutely not. And so he says he's going to make himself the referee in the tag match at Clash of Champions. And if Owens and Sammy lose, they will be fired from SmackDown. But also, they will be fired from all of WWE.
Oh, shit.
So that's how that goes. And this might be the end of the dynamic duo.
I mean, is like Shane, like Shane ain't like regular petty. He's like McMahon petty. That's that shit where he'd be like, look, I need to not only fire you, but you need to never work again.
Pretty much.
I mean, I applaud the amount of pettiness. I mean, all you got to do is hand clap that amount of pettiness.
The heels were making a lot of sense on that episode of SmackDown. The check, double check, triple check. I love it.
I mean, Sammy is being awesome in this. It's just like, he's just like, well, fuck it. Kevin did it correctly.
The dance is so exaggerated. It's so great. The you know, no, you're the best. No, you're the best. No, you're the best. Everything is just so good. Sami Zayn as a heel has been far better than I thought he would be.
Sammy's dancing is like greater than him giving a finger to everybody, because he's just like, I give nary a fuck.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. This episode of the WrestleCast is being brought to you by Amazon. It's that time of the year, folks, Christmas season. Get your gifts through CSPN.us and Amazon. Go to the website, www.cspn.us. Scroll down to where it says support our sponsors. Click on Amazon. Do your shopping as you normally would. Some of your purchase will come back to the CSPN to keep the WrestleCast free each and every week. So Amazon through cspn.us. Do it today. Final review will be for NXT. Lord Stephen Regal opens the show. He is discussing the mini tournament to crown a new number one contender for the NXT title. Tonight, Trent Seven will face off against Killian Dane. And Cassius Ohno was to face Velveteen Dream, but he is out due to injury. Regal says that he will name a suitable replacement for the Velveteen Dream to face Cassius Ohno tonight. Very disappointing. Drew McIntyre and Velveteen Dream, both casualties of this past NXT TakeOver. So they're both, I don't know how long Velveteen Dream's going to be out, but I know Drew McIntyre is going to be out for quite a while. So
supposedly I heard that they said Drew McIntyre is out until WrestleMania almost.
Yeah, he's going to be out like almost a whole year. Yeah, he's going to be out for like a minute, like the summertime maybe.
But damn, Velveteen Dream, after having such an awesome match at TakeOver, that saddens me, the fact that he's, because of injury, not going to be in the tournament, because he was fantastic in that in the match against Aleister Black, because it just was like, this was the match of the night, even more than War Games. It was like, he just, he did so much character into it, and to see him in person is just amazing, because he is literally in the character. There isn't, like, in Tough Enough, you saw Patrick Clark. If you saw him as Velveteen Dream, there is zero Patrick Clark in it. He's just like, fuck it. This is my gimmick. This is who I am. I'm going to be all of this.
That's awesome. It seems to be the curse of NXT right now. As you know, we came off TakeOver in Chicago with DIY breaking up. And then, of course, in the course of the match, Ciampa blows out his knee. So we don't get that story, which would have been, you know, the hottest story in WWE and NXT if that would have went off. And now we don't get the follow-up to what was the best story in WWE, which was Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black. So
I actually got the Ciampa Gargano thing. When we get to that point, I got a theory of what's going to happen. So I'm going to hold off. But I have a theory about that one.
All right. So now we get our new NXT champion, Cien Almas, with Zelina Vega. Hey, boo.
Keep it a buck.
They make their way to the ring. Zelina Vega says that this is the start of a historic title run and demands that we respect and embrace the legend of Almas. Almas says that he told us all that he would win the title, and he is now the champion. He beat McIntyre. He hurt McIntyre. Sorry. And as for the next contender, he's not concerned because he's the champion. So Zelina's Vega's theme music should be upgrading.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because she came in and was like, I'm going to make you champion. Just roll with me. And he was like, all right.
Yeah, he was here fucking up, losing the no-names and shit.
Hey, TakeOver was Cien Almas' 444. There you go.
So we have, I kind of like what they're doing. It's kind of like a basketball. Like, you see him being interviewed at the lockers with all the reporters around them with, like, their, you know, tape recorders and now cell phones.
That's actually dope. That was kind of like, remember for a minute they was doing that after some of the pay-per-views, and I was like, I really like that shit. But they like stopped it for whatever reason.
So we have Lars Sullivan in the press kind of little thing talking about his tournament match with Roderick Strong. He puts over Roddy, but Lars says in 2 weeks he will defeat Roddy and go on to win the NXT title. Nothing will stop him. So we get our first tournament match where we have Killian Dane versus Trent Seven. Trent Seven hits a desperation 7-star lariat, but Killian Dane kicks out at 2. Killian Dane hits a slam, then he hits a senton, and he finishes off Trent Seven with the Vader bomb and gets the win. So Killian Dane advances to the next round of the tournament.
I think I tweeted this the day after it happened, because I watched it like a couple of days afterwards. But is it like the craziest era of big men? Because like they have big, like at one point, he did like a running drop kick, and I was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they're not like just, you know, how Vince in his mind has big men and Triple H's, and I'm sorry, as I call him on NXT, base guard trips, is sitting up there like, what can you do? Can you do a running drop kick? Do that shit. Just roll with it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you've seen War Machine from ROH to NXT.
I've seen pieces of them. I've seen pieces here and there.
But they have a guy that's probably legitimately like 370, and he does like suicide dives. Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. But yeah, like you're saying, these big men now, I mean, they do, you know, just as many high risk moves. I mean, look at Kevin Owens. Look how big he is. And I mean, he's doing frog splashes and all types of top rope stuff. And he's not even showing you all his moves that he could be doing.
I mean, to be honest, like the only big man that I remember back in the day doing like shit that I see now, because when I saw Killian Dane, I was like, "That he looks like King Kong Bundy doing shit." And I remember back in the day watching, every so often you see King Kong Bundy doing some shit that you'd be like, they shouldn't be able to do that shit. And even Vader at times, but that one, that was really interesting. I like seeing what they're doing with Killian Dane, so I don't see him as champion just yet, but I do see it coming up.
Yeah, definitely. So we have Adam Cole, baby, and the gang. They do an interview. Adam Cole said he meets Aleister Black next week, and the reason that Black's been running through competition is because he's never had to face Adam Cole. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish then challenge Sanity next week for the tag team titles.
I don't know if I'm happy about seeing Black and Cole at like a regular NXT show. That shit should be like a takeover show. I mean, if we're being honest.
It should be, if you're going to show it, it should be on the one that comes on USA.
I think it's set for the USA one. I think it is.
Then that's just kind of in their book. It's like a mini takeover for them since they're going to be on USA. So I can get by with that.
I guess maybe it's one of those things where Vince is thinking, well, if I show this, then people will get the network. But I have a gripe always against the network every month when they give that free shit out, and I'm like, I had that shit like at 8:50 that day that y'all dropped it. So can y'all like hook a brother up with something?
Yeah, we're gonna hook you up with taking this $9.99 out of your account.
I swear they do every month. I'd be like this. Yeah, I get to watch old shit and the new shit. So all right.
We have Sonya Deville and Ruby Riott. They have a street fight. Ruby gets cut off with a kick, and Deville locks in a triangle as Ruby is trapped in the ropes, and the ref can't stop it because the ropes couldn't save Ruby Riott. So eventually, Ruby just passes out, and Sonya Deville, she gets the win.
So my question with that, because I watched it, and I think my thing with that is the fact that when you actually go to an NXT show, the commentators aren't there, so you don't hear them anyway, and they're nowhere to be found. So it's kind of like they're building Sonya Deville up to be this badass in NXT. So, and they kept talking about, oh, she's on the main roster now, but Ruby Riott is on the main roster too. So you're kind of making, I mean, when you watch the match, she's a babyface. And, you know, then when you watch it, she's a heel. So,
yeah, they had the disconnect because of the way that it's taped. So that might let you know that this might not have been in the works, that it might have just been Vince woke up one day and said, I need six girls right now. Bring me six girls.
I mean, or like Pritchard said, somebody handed him a kind bar and he was like, oh, I just need six girls.
Yeah, or he hadn't eaten enough that day or something, and he wasn't thinking clearly. But yeah, so it just lets you know that it probably wasn't anything they'd been working towards bringing these women up, and so it kind of shows in the NXT taping where they had that kind of that you know disconnect between what's happening on NXT and what you're seeing on the main roster.
Do you think Trips is kind of like, son of a bitch, Vince? Damn it. I had this shit working a certain way, and just like fucking up.
I'm pretty sure he is, because, I mean, let's be told, the backbone and the strength of NXT has always been the women's division and the women's matches. And, I mean, you just gut it out. Like, I mean, even though they're kind of minor players in the scheme of things, it still took away some depth. And, you know.
I mean, at this point, what is it, like four women left? You got the Ember Moon, the iconic duo, and Kairi Sane, and
then you have whatever the Mae Young Classic group is. And then you also have like, you know, Bianca Belair is still, you know, technically like a part of the NXT roster, but they never showcase. I don't know why.
I mean, that's part of my problem is that they don't showcase her, nowhere to be seen. Toni Storm, if you follow her Instagram, is all over the fucking place. And a lot of the women that I don't think, like how they did the Cruiserweight Classic, how they had a lot of them signed. I don't think they did the same thing with the Mae Young Classic, because I don't think Vince was thinking in that fashion that they would be really, really good. Because there's a lot of them that are, I went through the Mae Young Classic and started following a bunch of them on Instagram, so on and so forth. Whatever. I gotta find the new Creepcast Rookie of the Year. You know,
Toni Storm is definitely a front runner in that department.
I mean, she's on it. Abby Lathe is on it, and I'm just saying. I think her name is Zaya Lee. She actually had a couple in there. You know, classic. Go ahead and do the Creepcast draft, like you know, the streets need. I have a list, but you know, there's some there that you would. I mean, they show them at house shows, but they don't show them on TV yet. Abby Lathe is one that they do a lot, and Dakota Kai is one that they show a lot. Her Instagram is like, she's like WWE. All of these folks are WWE, but they're not showing them on TV yet. And from the popularity of the Mae Young Classic, they should. And it's like, they're not doing it yet. I don't know what, in fact, is going on.
Right. I just think that because they kind of lost a little bit of money and they kind of cut back on the production, I think there might just be a little gun shy at this point, because like, you know, you have all these UK guys that they don't really have a place for, because now that they're not gonna give them their own show like they thought they were gonna do before. And then you have like this block of guys that you really don't have a spot for, and they're trying to incorporate them on NXT a little bit more. So I just think they're just trying to figure out, you know, what to do with them. And then once they figure that out, they'll probably come out hard with, you know, the new direction. So,
I mean, for all intents and purposes, they have their own network. Vinnie Mac has his own network. He can literally say, fuck it, I'm just going to do a UK show and do this women's show. And you're already paying $10. Why not? It's like he's being really, really gun shy.
He could, but the thing about it is you have to think about it. They have whatever they have. Let's say they have 75 wrestlers. So they have 75 okay. wrestlers split down the middle, right? So you have all SmackDown right. side, you have a Raw side. Then you have to have, you know, split down the agents. So you have to have as many agents for SmackDown as you do for Raw, and the production people and the directors and blah, 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 blah. So it's hard for him to then have to also go, oh, you know what? That's the reason why 205 Live is with SmackDown and all that stuff. Because they just don't have the people to run all these separate different places. Like, you know, NXT has their little every 2 week taping schedule. So, you know, those people get a break when they need, you know, they don't have to burn those people out. They can put them on the road and then say, oh, you know, come home, do NXT, get a week off, and then go back on the road. So they just don't have the manpower. And I think he's finally realizing that to just have 6 or 7 different live shows, you know what I'm saying? He's, you know, they're doing the best that they can with these four between 205, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. And I just think that he realizes that's probably the sweet spot that they can handle with manpower and just produce the quality that he wants to have as far as what he's looking for.
Okay. I mean, what if you did, say, for example, you have the UK show, right? You do the UK show once a month. You really don't have to do a whole lot of matches, okay? Because even with the tournament, they did, what, 6 matches?
Yeah.
4 matches? Yeah. Okay. So you do 2 matches. You got an hour. You got rid of Talking Smack. You got rid of this. You know, you got rid of Renee Young show. You have space. You're not doing Legends House again for whatever reason.
I don't think it's the actual place to put it on the network. They got that. It's just that they just don't have the people to run it, to produce it and you know, put it out there as frequently as they probably thought they would, you know, a year and a half ago when things were looking a lot better and their numbers were a lot better.
I'm just saying, WWE, I'm on LinkedIn. Go ahead and look me up. Go ahead and I can write a little bit. I can produce a little bit if we're, because you know they listen to the Wrestlecast. So, you know, for being real, get another job. Just saying.
So, back to NXT, we have Ember Moon being interviewed backstage, and she says that winning the title was a dream come true. The iconic duo arrive and remind us that Ember did not pin Peyton to win the title. She pinned Nikki Cross.
The iconic press, because you know the iconic press is, you know, there. It's like New York Times, Washington Post, iconic press.
They kind of have a little discourse back and forth about, you know, who they think should get the next shot at the title. Ember says when they figure it out, they come to her and they'll get the match. So Billy and Peyton work it out for Peyton to get the match next week against Ember Moon. We get a highlight or a vignette for in 2 weeks, Tyler Bate gets his rematch against Pete Dunne for the UK title. So basically, we're going to have the rematch of the best match in WWE for 2017. That's going to close out 2017. So hopefully they can put up, they're not going to be able to match what they did at Takeover Chicago, but it should still be a pretty awesome match. These two have fantastic chemistry.
And it, what's crazy is that they're both like literally, they're like 15 years younger than me, which is crazy. But which, I mean, they put on a hell of a match at Takeover Chicago. I think this will be more of like, you know, just it's going to be a really, really good NXT match, but you know that Takeover Chicago was all of the flames. It was just like, we're gonna show out and you're gonna watch it and you're gonna know what to do with yourself. So, you know,
if it wasn't for two guys named Okada and Omega, that would definitely be the match of the year for this year in all of wrestling.
So you put this at, I mean, I did watch that match. I watched that match after you posted it. What you say, like number two, number in the top five?
It's hard for me to, because like I actually, the one match that I like that I might have liked the best out of the three was the third one in the G1 because of the pace that it set, because they were just going so fast. They only had like 30 minutes to beat him and he was just bing, 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 bing. So the pace was crazy. I think maybe number two, though, is better just because the Our Broadway and just the story of Kitty trying to get that one-winged angel. And when he finally got it, it was too late.
Speaking of which, I'm speaking of Kenny Omega, I think I'm actually going to take the day off to watch Wrestle Kingdom this year.
I was thinking the same thing, my friend. I'm
going to take the day off. The reason being is that I will say this, and it might sound blasphemous, and whatever, fuck it. Of all of the wrestlers that I've always been enamored with, it's been Shawn Michaels number one and Jericho number two. So I'm literally putting, I know Undertaker, Bret Hart, Rock, Stone Cold. There has never been a moment that I didn't enjoy watching Chris Jericho, and just the fact of him and Kenny Omega going at one another. It's going to be an amazing match. I can, even Jericho at age 40, I think he just tells stories. So I'm going to take the day off just to watch that match. I don't care if I'm up at 2 or 3 in the morning, I will fucking take no doze. I will be watching that match live.
Cheap plug, be on the lookout for the Cast of Strong Style Wrestle Kingdom 12 preview podcast coming in the next about 10 days or so. We'll get it out at least a week and a half before the January 4th show, so you guys have enough time to listen and catch up on storylines and hopefully kind of reset y'all up to go into Wrestle Kingdom so y'all understand what's going on.
There is never anything wrong with a cheap plug, and I will be listening, because guess what? I ordered the New Japan wrestling, but I haven't watched enough of it to know everybody, and I'm trying to catch up. So I need to go ahead and be ready for that.
All right. So our main event for NXT was Cassius Ohno versus the wrestler who was replacing Velveteen Dream, and that was none other than Johnny Wrestling.
Johnny Wrestling.
Johnny Gargano. I'm not really a big fan of Cassius Ohno because he's out of shape and he wears that fucking Duke gear to the ring, which is no.
I had to tweet that myself because I was like, I need to like him and the Duke shit. Other than Grant Hill, I don't like anybody that plays for Duke, only because Grant Hill was drafted by the Pistons, so that is what it is.
Yeah, so Cassius Ohno does nothing for me. But anyway, Gargano escapes the electric chair into a victory roll for a good near fall. We get a big boot by Ohno, and he follows that up with the Northern Lariat and gets a great near fall. Gargano cuts off the roaring elbow with super kicks. Then he locks in the Gargano escape, and Cassius Ohno taps, and Johnny Gargano will advance to the next round of the number one contenders tournament. This was a hell of a match, man. This was really good. Like I said, I'm not really a big fan of Cassius Ohno, but he definitely put it down. Him and Johnny Wrestling, I mean, they tore it down. This is a really good main event.
I mean, I like Cassius Ohno, aside from Duke gear. That is what it is, because, like I said, he wears Duke. I'm a Michigan fan, so I stay bitter. I have a lot of bitterness when it comes to sports. But it was so damn good. And it's like I liked Cassius Ohno his first run in NXT. And I was like, you know, when is he going to get up to the main roster? But this match was so damn good. And Johnny Gargano just does so many good moves. And I'm just waiting. I guess I can go back to the theory I said earlier, is that I have a theory that Johnny Gargano wins the NXT championship and Tommaso Ciampa comes back to challenge him for it around WrestleMania, because you get that revenge part of it, because Johnny Gargano owes Tommaso Ciampa hands for what he did.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, he owe him all the hands. But it's like you see what Gargano was all about, and it's like, you know, Cassius Ohno was just there to get him over, and he did it in a hell of a way. It was great all the way from beginning to end, and I think I know what you say about Ohno. It's like, for his size, and that's maybe the best part of NXT, is that they don't really care that you have a 12-pack. If you can wrestle your ass off, you can wrestle for them.
Right, right.
And that's what makes his inclusion good. But, you know, I wish that had been him in Dream, but this was secondary, and it was fantastic to begin with. And, you know, the rumor and innuendo, I'm drinking now, leave me alone, about what happened at some of the tapings, and I'm trying to go to the next tapings. But he wrestled his ass off, and maybe we finally see all of Johnny Gargano that we wanted to see with DIY. And it's like, you're with a tag team partner, now you break up, and you get to kind of... I don't think either one of them are, and I hate that they make this differentiation to where someone has to be a Jannetty and someone has to be a Shawn Michaels, but that match is going to be fire in New Orleans when it happens.
Yeah, wherever they have it, and when they build it back up again for it to happen, yeah, it's going to be the best thing on NXT for sure. So we'll see where everything leads. So that was this weekend, basically the big things that happened. I couldn't tell y'all what happened on 205 Live. I didn't do my YouTube browse around to make sure nothing too spectacular happened. So no 205 Live report this week. So we'll bring Dee Dee in at this point so she can give her shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to Whiskey. Shout out to Bourbon. Woo! Shout out to NyQuil, DayQuil, you know. Shout out to no-name brand versions of those medicines. Shout out to all my ladies in the glow. Shout out to Don, Sam, Greg, Chairman, Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Yeah, the huge.
All right. And our guest, Quanah Central R.
All right. Shout out to Sarome, because he told me about some stripper that he had pasta salad with, and I need to know who this person is. Shout out to my cousin Chris, who basically faints at everybody foreign. Because next time we go to NXT, she probably going to do the same thing. Shout out to my cousin Blaze. There's a reason he's called that. Whatever. Shout out to my cousin G, that's probably going to give me tickets to NXT, hopefully. Give me like front row seats. Shout out to THWFE, if I can spell it right, because I'm drunk and it'll be all right. Let's see. I'm trying to think now. Damn. Shouldn't have drank so much whiskey. I blame Dee Dee for this. shout out to the whiskey that I drank, Jim, the fire and the honey. Shout out to the WrestleCast, Sam, Magnum, Classic, if one day we actually have a Creepcast draft, because, you know, the streets kind of want that and need that. Shout out to all of my friends that are in my in a Facebook group that I somehow became an administrator of, Den of Wrestling Nerdery, Will, Brian, and if I forgot y'all, blame Whiskey. And also shout out to Don Vic, who actually, because of him, I have my Facebook cover of me and Naya, so shout out to him. And shout out to everybody in the WrestleCast that live tweets every week, because y'all keep me awake during them dead hours of Raw and all of the hours of SmackDown Matter. So shout out to y'all. Much love. Oh, wait. I kind of have to do this because my dad is being installed as pastor. So, you know, shout out to him and my family. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, congratulations to your pops.
Hey, the theology school works. So I can't be in Detroit because, one, I have no money, and two, it's cold as shit. So, you know.
I'd like to give a shout out to Quintessential R for returning as guest this evening. I'd like to give a shout out to my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Dee Dee Jonet. Give a shout out, of course, to Greg and Sam. Give a shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Give a shout out to Jamal for all the work he's going to do in post production. Give a shout out to all the members of the CSPN, all the people who are, you know, producing content. Y'all need to check out our new podcast, Off That Drink. Where they're talking about liquor and drinking while podcasting. So, you know, shenanigans shall ensue. Also, Rock Solid Radio has been a new addition in the last few months. So y'all check them out. I would like to give a big shout out to Bad and Boozy. So, you know, check out those ladies. They're doing some wonderful things over there on their podcast. Give a shout out to The Glow. Give a shout out to Jade to the Max. You know, Queen Mel Mindy, Jupiter Julep, Keyson LH, all you guys and gals that live tweet with us every week. Give a shout out to y'all as well. And for my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonet, and our reigning and defending El Dandy guest of the year, two times, Quintessential R, I'm Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 162 of the WrestleCast. Stay tuned for the parting promo.
Hold on a second before you say anything else. Roman Reigns. Jason, come on. We're gonna do this again? You can't be serious. Your knee, it's still taped up.
It's fine. I can do this.
Ever since I've been in the ring, ever since I've been in here on Raw, I've been in there with Roman Reigns. I've been in here with John Cena, Braun Strowman, with every last one of them. Ever since Roman won the Intercontinental Championship, he issued an open challenge to any man in that locker room who wants to step up and take it. Well, I'm ready to step up because I know that I can beat Roman Reigns. I just need a chance, Dad.
Kurt, I'm a fighting champion. So I'm gonna tell you who I'm fighting, and it's not gonna be your son. I want Samoa Joe. Ha! Matter of fact, while I'm out here, let me give your son a piece of advice. If you want an opportunity, don't go running to your daddy. Step up and take it.
You're gonna talk to me about earning opportunities? You? You're the poster boy for everything that the WWE management wants.
Well, he's right about one thing. I'm on a lot of posters. And I've been on a lot of chairs because I've main evented a lot of shows. And it's because I earned it. I wasn't given it. I've grinded for 7 years straight. So like I said before, I'm not gonna give you anything. If you want something, step up and take it. Gentlemen, as much as I'd love to sit in the back and watch you two puff up your chest and pretend to talk tough, I'll tell you what, my patience has worn thin. Roman, if you're done patronizing the kid, I'll tell you what, I accept your challenge. And because at times I'm merciful, I'm gonna give you a little bit of reprieve. I'm gonna give you 5 seconds to withdraw your challenge and avoid the embarrassment of what we both know. You can't be me.
Hey, Joe, I don't have to try and come out here and talk tough. Unlike you, I actually am tough. Because I don't have to come out here and attack people from behind. I issue challenges to their face, just like I issue a challenge to Roman Reigns, just like I'm issuing a challenge to you right now.
Joe, the 5 seconds are done.
Oh, wait. Oh my God, wait a minute. Jordan with the belly to Reigns.
Tonight, Jordan, you can get it right now. Kurt, make the match.